The picture's bigger than you or me. It's panoramic for the world to see. It's for you, you, right in view. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So look up and let your vision be clear. Then reach out to the world and share. And you'll see with clarity the full of you. Oh, and you will see it's amazing. 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 Exactly what we've been waiting for. Spiritual.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us here today on The Fuller View, sharing time, talent, and testimonies. On today's show, we have our special guest, Miss Fatima L. Hall. She's going to share things, all things relationships, all things love, all things laughter. And I'm so glad that you guys have a chance to join us during this time, during this pandemic in our lifetimes. Listen, Fatima is not only a motivational speaker, she is a publisher. She is a former CEO and editor-in-chief of the first internationally distributed Christian youth publication, Image Magazine. And look, Fatima, I still have a copy from 2008. Fatima Hall has done some amazing things. She's not only bright and beautiful, but she is also, she is also has a Bachelor of Arts degree in marketing and public relations, and she went to Howard University. So I'm sure your alumni and your classmates out there are giving you big ups and big props for doing great things. And she also has a master's degree, guys, a master's degree in psychology from Chappelle University. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Fatima L. Hall, thank you for joining us here today on The Fuller View. Listen, we're going to come back with her, but right now I just want to share with you guys, during this time of pandemic, make sure that you all are living your best lives and doing those things that God is calling you to do. Make sure that you're staying happy and staying whole and thinking on those things that are good and that are pure. I know that it's very hard sometimes possibly to get into that space in mind, but if you continue to listen to shows like this, hopefully we are encouraging you, inspiring you, and equipping you to live your best life and to live life to the fullest. Make sure you check out The Fuller Better Life on Instagram, because there you can find some incredible breathing exercises, some recipes, and some great tips to continue to live a fuller, better life. My son, Hunter Reed, is doing some great things over there. He'll be providing you some things there. And then you're going to check out my beautiful daughter, Madison. Madison also will be providing some great exercising tips and some eating tips and some things that we can do to get through this time. Listen, this is the best time to form those relationships or to develop those relationships so you guys can continue to live the life that you want to live. And even looking and watching my Instagram live on Facebook, I'm looking at my beautiful high school friends, Demetria. Hey, thank you, Michi, so much for joining us here today, and for Derek Rollins. I've known these people since I was in grade school. And to be able to continue to have relationships with people that you've known all of your life is just truly a blessing. Because, you know, people fall off, you grow up, you grow away, you go and do different things in your life. But to be able to maintain healthy relationships with people that know you, that continue to call you your entire name. Most people that I know from high school, people that call me my entire name, I know it's got to be somebody from high school or elementary school. I went to Peyton Forest Elementary School, for those of you guys that are watching. And I also went to Southwest Atlanta, and I graduated from Benjamin E. Mays High School. I am truly a Georgia peach. I was born over at Hughes Baldwin High School, just to give you a little bit of history about myself. So, yes, I am born, bred, and raised right here in the beautiful South, and I'm excited about it. I have been called a Southern Belle and all those Georgia peach, and yes, I'm proud to be a Georgia peach. I'm proud to be from the Dirty South. I'm proud to be from Atlanta. I'm proud of all the great relationships that I've been able to develop and secure and to still maintain right here in my life today. One of the relationships that I truly hold dear to my heart is one of the young ladies, is my guest for today, who is Fatima Hall. We do truly go back. When Fatima and I had an opportunity to meet, she was doing some great things in the gospel arena, and I was truly doing some things during that time when I was hosting my Fuller View and doing red carpets and meeting amazing people, and she opened a few doors for me, and I just want to thank her again for being able to do that. But today, on today's show, she's going to share some excerpts from her book. We're going to talk about love, we're going to talk about life and laughter, and how important it is for us to maintain. Thank you again for joining us here today on The Fuller View on 105.5 FM The King and on 1430 AM. And make sure you check us out on wonderful Wednesdays on RadioSaintPete.com. Thank you for joining us here. Stick around for more of The Fuller View.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to... wanna let you kill it. See, I won't change my life is just
back to The Fuller View, guys. Thank you so much for joining us here today on The Fuller View. As mentioned, we share time, talent, and testimonies. And on today's show, we have an amazing guest, Miss Fatima L. Hall. Fatima, thank you so much for joining us here today. Share your story with us and let us know how it all began.
Well, it's literally, first of all, let me say, I am so excited to be on here with you today, Heidi. You and I go back over a decade of friendship and camaraderie in the business industry and entertainment industry. So just to see us come around full circle and just to have this time to be together again is just awesome to me. I'm so proud of all that you're doing, and I'm extremely excited to be a guest on The Fuller View. I've had some of my artists and things like that on your show.
Yes.
For me to be here as the guest is just absolutely amazing. Let's talk about how it all began. About 20 years ago, I was given the vision to start a youth publication. At the time, I didn't know that it was going to be the first internationally distributed Christian teen publication ever.
How about
that? It was called Image Magazine. And, you know, I had an amazing time, an amazing run with the publication of about a decade. And then, you know, we had a switch in the economy, changed. You know, I had to go ahead and accept, of course, the shift, and, you know, to project. A lot of times is what we have to do as, you know, when it comes to business, and know you know, when that run is up. So, you know, we went ahead and cleared out all of our books and, you know, met all of our obligations as far as our advertising. And we closed our doors about 10 years later. And after that time, I went ahead and reengaged with my corporate roots and took on a job at Delta. But it just, you know, that whole thing of writing and just, you know, sharing with people. And I noticed that, you know, I would always some kind of way end up in these situations where I was counseling someone or giving advice or,
yes,
you know, something like that. And it's just like, you know, okay, so this is a natural gift. You're going to have to accept it. The writing desire is still there. So, of course, I prayed and I asked God, well, what do you want me to do with this? So after being out of college for, 20-plus years, I went back and got a master's degree in psychology.
How about that?
Because the thing is, a lot of us, you know, we counsel, we give people great advice, and but we never put the clinical part behind it. We never get the education behind it.
Yes.
Because, let's face it, you know, in ministry, we might say, you know, I'm giving someone a word or I'm speaking a word over their life, but the world doesn't understand that.
Mm.
So oftentimes we have to have the clinical knowledge and the book knowledge behind it, you know, so that they will respect the gift that God has given us naturally. And that's just,
yes,
that's just real life.
Yes.
You know, so I went back and got the psychology degree, master's degree. It was rough because I had been out of school for over 20 years and I was just like, okay, you know, there were times when I was like, okay, can I really do this?
Yes.
And, but God was with me. We made it through. And, after that time, he said, okay, you know that book that you've been putting off for the last 10 years or so? I want you to finish it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I took a time, you know, period, and I just kind of basically focused on that. Like every weekend, every waking moment that I had that I wasn't, you know, at my 9-to-5 job, I was writing. And so out of that was birthed a book called While You Were Waiting, Finding Yourself Before He Finds You. And we did a great launch for it, and the book has done extremely well. And I'm back into my element,
mm-hmm,
you know, as far as writing and encouraging, actually moving forward as well, about to embark on my doctorate degree.
Wow. Come on now, sister.
So,
do it.
So that's where we are right now. We've been, you know, pushing the message of While You're Waiting for about the last maybe year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been really awesome. God has really blessed and opened so many doors where I've been able to minister to women in group settings and in small settings and, you know, just really sharing with them that singleness is not a curse. It's actually a course.
Come on.
So it's been something that, you know, that message, taking it to women. And not only that, just understanding that when I started to apply the principles of this book to my life, then 6 months later, I was engaged to be married, you know,
wow,
to a gentleman who is just amazing.
Come on. Wow.
So, yeah. So I didn't just write it. It works.
You know what? It's interesting that you say that, because right at that moment, I felt a lot of women perk up and say, what? What was that? She did what in 6 months? So your book, While You Were Waiting, a love letter for single women that encourages, uplifts, and calls us to action. I love that, because it's all about calling things to action. It's all about not just sitting around twiddling your thumbs waiting. But when I think of the word waiting, I think about preparing. I think about gearing up. I think about, you know, you're waiting. Yes, you are. But you don't have to be anxiously waiting for anything. Because God's word even says, be anxious for nothing. So while you are waiting, tell us why that particular title. Why was that what you felt God put on your heart for people to hear and to gravitate to?
You know, one of the things that God showed me in my time of study and of just, you know, reflection and meditation before I actually began to write the book, you know, and get serious about writing the book, is that waiting is an action word.
Say that.
Actually, it's not a sedentary position where you're just sitting in one place. And unfortunately, a lot of times in ministry, that's what we're taught. You know, when we're at church, wait, I say, on the Lord, and be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. You know, all of those wonderful scriptures. So we kind of just position ourselves like, I'm waiting on God. But what God showed me is that, guess what? I'm waiting on you.
Yes.
I'm waiting on you to accomplish those things that I've called you to accomplish as a single woman, because those are the things that will actually position you to meet the man that you desire and that you're waiting on, that you're actually waiting for God to send you. So it's like changing the mindset of what waiting means. Waiting is actually it's an action word. It's a time to get before the Lord and say, what is it that you would have me to do in this time as a single woman, so that it can prepare me for married life as well. And understanding that you don't wear a scarlet letter when you're single, that is an amazing time.
Say that.
So that's a time when you and the Lord can frolic in the lilies and talk all day if that's what you want to do. You know, you don't have the responsibility of dinner and kids and, yes, you know, and a husband that needs to be, you know, taken care of and pleased as well.
Yes.
So it's just changing the mindset of what it means to be single and what that time is all about and what it's for. And then moving just not from that, not from just changing the mindset, but calling women to action. So what has God called you to do? You know, what is this single time for? You know, once I wrote the book, I have to be honest.
Yes.
Once I wrote the book and I accomplished what I was supposed to accomplish, my life switched.
Yes.
Then became, you know, an engaged woman, you know, on my way to being married. So it is, there are things that you will have to accomplish. You know, that will lead you towards, because the thing that really brought my fiance and I together was the book.
Say that. You know, even in this time, Fatima, that we're waiting. And we're waiting on the Lord, and we're waiting to get through this pandemic and all those other good things. And we talk about the things that you should be doing during this time of waiting, during this time of preparing, during this time of putting things into action. So once we get to that point or to the other side or wherever God would have us, we're prepared. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like what you've done is that you, during your time of waiting, and I do the air quotes, you were preparing. You're preparing for greater, preparing Fatima to be the best woman, the best mother, the best friend, the best lover, the best person that Fatima mm-hmm. could be. So mm-hmm. when God brought that man, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, when he came along, he knew right away, possibly, this is the one for me. This is the woman that is the branch of my butter. This is the one that's bringing all of that I need, not necessarily to complete or to feel whole, but that's going to add value to what I'm bringing to the table. Because I feel like in relationships, it's not a 60-40, not a 80-20 kind of thing, or 50-50. It's what you guys have. It's just hard to explain because all relationships are different. We all bring something yeah. different to the table. Mm-hmm. I think in relationships that it's always to have a good balance. Well, one of the persons in the relationship may be more creative and the other person may be serious about getting things done and having deadlines and putting lists together and that kind of thing. And it's a good yin and yang kind of thing, because sometimes you get two creative people together, you're dreaming a lot, you're fantasizing a lot, you're wondering, oh, you know, you're skipping through the tulips and slinging with birds. Believe me, I've been in that kind of relationship, and nothing, things get done, but they don't get done as they could if you had someone, or if you were sharing your life with someone that could,
right,
you know, do the bills. I mean, to pay attention to the important things. So your dreamer can be your dreamer, but then you also have that balance of someone that's saying, okay, but this needs to be paid. We need to take care of these things. We need to go on this trip. Or those things that really make for a good, solid relationship. But then also in right. saying that, I think a great relationship stems from having a great friendship. I think that friendship is going to be key to any relationship that you have, that love, that genuine love that you have for one another, because you only want to see each other succeed. You only want to see each other be happy. And you put that mm-hmm. focus on that being the most important thing in the relationship, is seeing your partner happy and not being selfish. And if you're both feeling that way, you're both walking in the same light and doing the same great things. But a lot of times it doesn't happen that way, does it?
Exactly. And I have a chapter in the book where I talk about marrying for where you're going versus marrying for where you are right now.
Come on.
And oftentimes we marry in the moment. You know, maybe what we needed at that time.
Yes.
You know, maybe, you know, what our situation dictated.
Yes.
You know, we marry for where we are right now. And then when you actually begin to develop, and you begin to really understand what your purpose is, and you're super excited, and you take this information to your spouse, and they're like, we have children to raise, we have bills to pay, we don't have time to dream right now.
See.
You know, and the thing is, then you're in a situation where it becomes such a a schism between the two of you, because you know what you're being called to do, you know what's in your heart to do, but they don't share the same vision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, when you become, you know, then it becomes this big elephant in the room until it's just too big not to recognize.
So what do you do?
Go ahead.
What do you do? What do you do in that instance? Because it's so obvious, and it's so unfortunate a lot of times. I meet women, as you do, strong black women that are doing some amazing, powerful things, but single and lonely. What happens in that instance to me is that it's a support thing, it's an insecure thing. So what do you do when you are strong, you're black, you're independent, not necessarily even a strong black woman, any independent woman, any woman that believes in herself, that has a dream and that has a drive and a goal for herself, but she finds herself in a marriage that he supports her, but he doesn't support her. He supports her just enough for her to taste it, and then when she tastes it, that's all she wants. And now he wants to reel her back in to be this person or in this relationship that he saw. I mean, it all goes, to me, it's perception. You said it in the very beginning. It's a mindset. So I'm thinking in the beginning of the relationship, do you suggest that you sit down and have that hard conversation to say, hey, this is where we are right now, but I do have some dreams, some goals, and some desires. A lot of times when you meet people, you meet them in a state, we say, hey, I really like that person. I like what they're doing. But then you meet them and you're in a relationship with them, and now you want to reel them in because, well, maybe that wasn't what I thought it was, because now they're getting... So what do you do? What do you do in those type of instances?
Okay,
wait, we're going to take a quick break because I know you've got a lot to share. And I do want you to share a lot within your book and how we can get that book. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear more from Ms. Fatima L. Hall, our author, motivational speaker extraordinaire. And she's going to share with us some tips and some tools that we can use to have some great, strong, durable, lasting, loving relationships during this time and beyond. So stick around for more right here on The Fuller View.
Yeah. the blackness. Keep on. Never say die.
Welcome back to The Fuller View, sharing time, talent, and testimonies with our special guest, Ms. Fatima L. Hall. Fatima was sharing with us all about her awesome book, While You're Waiting. Fatima, let's talk more about the book and some of the chapters that you have inside.
Okay, most definitely. Actually, if I can do this real quick, because you hit on something that was so important before we went to break.
Okay.
You asked me, what should you do when you're in a relationship with someone who does not understand your dream or your purpose?
Say that.
We talk about that in the book, of course. But the thing is, number one, if you're not in that position yet, one of the things that I do recommend, and I said this in the book, is until you know your purpose fully, you should not even be thinking about marriage. Okay, because that is a conversation that needs to be had in the onset. And then when you sit down with that person, after the butterflies, after all the he's so fine, girl, oh my God, I know he's the one, after all of that, then it's time to ask the necessary questions.
Okay.
And that is a big part of relationships. Ask the necessary questions. How do you feel about this? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? This is where I see myself. And not just listen to what he has to say, but you be very proactive in telling him where you see yourself. Because oftentimes we get to the point, especially as single women, because we're so nervous about losing that person or, you know, not keeping their interest, that we keep our interests hidden. But that is a very dangerous thing.
Yes,
that's how you end up in a situation with someone who does not understand, nor accept, nor embrace your purpose. They may not, you know, stop you, but they're not going to jump on board with you either. And that's a place that you don't want to be in a marriage. So, but if you are there is still hope because there's a God. And I do believe that God honors our intentions. You know, he honors the fact that we may not have known going in that we should have done things differently. So I do believe through prayer, open communication between the two people in the relationship, that there's still a way for you all to coexist, love each other, and embrace who you are and what your purpose is. But that takes a lot of work. And some people, unfortunately, they don't cross the finish line as it relates to that, and that's okay too. You know, most people, you know, I was raised in a culture where, you know, divorce was a taboo, and, you know, people were, oh my God, you know, that's not something that you do. I've been told it was against the Bible. I've heard it all.
Wow.
I do believe that if you are in a position, and not just unhappy in a sense of like, well, I'm just not happy, I just, you know, I'm finding all these different things. If you have done everything in your power to make it work, and it doesn't, it's okay.
It's okay.
And that's the solid premise that I stand on as it relates to that, because that was a really great question. But I do believe that if you ask the necessary questions in the beginning, and you don't ignore the red flags, don't ignore the flags on the plane.
Say that. Okay.
And keep running with the ball, because there's no touchdown in the end and the flag is thrown. So please, make sure that you ask the necessary question and don't be shy about it. I'm the kind of person where I have to write things down.
Yes.
You know, that's just how I am. And we're in conversations, in arguments, in whatever it is.
Wow.
I have this little notepad.
You don't come to an argument with a list, do you?
I felt this way that I don't argue well.
Okay.
You know, I'm not good on my feet when it comes to, like, you know, debating and things of that nature.
I totally understand.
I write down my feelings. I write down how, you know, when you said this, it made me feel this way. Or I do that. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that's healthy.
It's very healthy.
You know, it's healthy to say, this is how I'm feeling. And I want to articulate that to you. So I just wanted to answer that because that was a really, really good point.
And you know, and I thank you for that.
In the book.
I thank you so much for answering that question, because that is a question that's out there that's always looming over someone's head that's in a relationship. They're like, wow, I really want to do this, but is my partner or my spouse going to appreciate or accept what it is that I'm bringing to the table because I've been so creative? And then you have those relationships where you have, and I said the word partner, and I want to go back to that, because when you're in a partnership, that's more like a commitment, like an agreement with someone, like a business transaction. But when do you look at relationships as that? Would you look at your husband as your partner in that sense? Or because it can get kind of messy. I'll say that. But let me go back to my point that I was trying to make. When you are doing great things and you're that creative person, and your spouse or your love says, hey, yeah, go for it, let's do this thing, and it doesn't work. And then you come back with something else and it doesn't work. And you come back with something else and it doesn't work. At what point, or at some point, your mate, your spouse, your husband, your wife is like, okay, what are you really doing? When are you going to get a job? Or when are you going to be able to support the family the way that you want to support the family with the gifts that you've been given? And it just doesn't seem to work. It doesn't seem to pan out. What happens in that? It causes a great strain in the relationship, but then that creative person, what do you tell that creative person? Do they keep trying? Do they keep going after their dreams? Or do they succumb to their husband or their mates or their wives and say, okay, well, maybe I should do it this way because things aren't working for me? And I already know the answer to that. But I want to hear what you have to say about that. And then I do want to get into the book. I only ask you these questions because I do know there's so many creative, talented people out there that really want to live their lives. But they have to be practical in thinking that I do have to also pay the bills and I have to be responsible for what's right here in my face. But then at the same time, I have all these great gifts and talents that God has given me. And I know that something's going to work. My dad used to say, Heidi, don't stop. Just keep trying. Something's going to pan out. Something's going to stick, you know, but you can't stop.
Keep throwing up against the wall.
Right. But even in being with a person like myself or with a person like you, even, or with a very creative person, that mate, that husband, that spouse, that wife has to be something special to even handle someone with all those creative ideas and wonderful plans. And then sometimes there's a challenge because they would rather you take all of your gifts and talents that you're seeing yourself doing something with, but they want you to bring it into what they're doing. So if you're doing that for them, why can't you do that for me? But you're not interested necessarily in what that that entity is, because that's, I don't know, it's just, it gets really crazy. But it's a give and take. You have to be able to communicate effectively and be able to respect each other's boundaries and what they're bringing to the table, I think, in order for you to continue to move forward. And I kind of got off track, but, you know, I think about the relationship that I have had, been in, you know, and currently in, and just how important it is for me to keep dreaming and to not give up on myself, because at the end of the day, I'm still who I am. I am still that individual.
Exactly.
And then the people that you find yourself with, or in a relationship or not in a relationship, you have to have that love still that pours out, that to remind you of who you are and whose you are, and that you can still dream. You can still have those things in a relationship. That's, help me out, girl.
That is loaded. It's a lot to unpack in what you've asked. But I'm going to try to go back. First of all, let me say this part. Everybody's journey is different.
Yeah.
You know, and I think especially in this society that we're in, with the onset of social media and all of those things that allow us to be voyeurs, and I'm using my air quotes when I say that, because people don't like the word voyeurism because it has such a negative connotation. But when we watch reality TV shows and we tune in to people's live feeds and we watch them, you know, go through their daily lives, it is a form of voyeurism. We're watching.
Come on.
You know, as they're doing the things that they're doing. And so that has really caused us to compare. You know, the spirit of comparison is very strong, you know, because of all the things that we are now exposed to. If you think about it, Heidi, when we were growing up, there was no social media. you know.
Right.
Buy whatever you saw at school. You experienced whatever you experienced at school. You didn't know what was going on in your neighbor's house, you know, necessarily, unless your mom and the other woman were friends and they were talking about it. You just didn't have all of these influences, you know, and that make you compare yourself to other people. So when you're in a relationship, it is just, you have to literally create a bubble, because block out everything that, this, you know, people are saying, everything that you see on social media, the things that you see on TV and in the media, you have to create a bubble with just you and that person. And you have to be, you have to make it a pact with one another that you're going to keep it real and that you're going to be able to express, this is a place where I can express how I feel. This is a place where you can express how you feel. Our goal when we come out of this is to have a strategy, is to have an understanding. And if you cannot find that place with that person, then you do need to question whether or not this is something that needs to continue. Because the negative side of it, or the downside of it, is if you keep putting yourself on the back burner, if you keep putting a lid on your goals, if you think about it, you cook, you know, we've had to cook a whole lot since it's COVID-19. And if you put a lid on a pot, let's just say of rice, and you haven't turned down the temperature, it's going to what? Everything, it's going to
all over.
Be water all over the place. It's going to be crazy. So that's what that incubator that you have to create with your spouse is. It's a safe space where the temperature is down, where we're not on 10. We need to come in here on 1 or 2.
Okay.
You know, and we need to come in with our listening ears.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is something that you can establish in your relationship, that is wonderful. That is great. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. But if you love each other, love is a commitment.
Yes, it is.
You have to be committed to the process.
Yes.
But if you find over the years that that person is just not committed to the process, then you have to decide to do what's best for you.
Absolutely.
And that is okay.
You got Kevin over here kicking to the curb, baby. Kevin is kicking his heels off over here. Listen, quickly go through just some of the chapter titles of your book, and then I want you to share with our audience how we can get a copy.
Sure. In the book, I have varying titles. I talked about, you know, singleness not being a curse, but being a course. You know, of course, that's understanding that, you know, oftentimes our family members and our friends, girl, when you gonna get married, girl, your eggs are freezing. I mean, are gonna be no good, girl. You need
to dried up.
Move forward. You're gonna be dried up. Yeah, you know, all those things. And people, and one of the things I say in the book, people watch your biological clock more than you do. You know, so
okay,
for you. So, you know, just understanding that what that time period is for and what the, you know, what you should be doing. Of course, talking about waiting as being an action word, there's an awesome chapter that I have in here called While You're Waiting, God is Working, and we talk about the helicopter effect.
Mm.
The interesting thing about a helicopter is it's the only mechanical thing that can actually stay in one place and hover in one place, and when it's time to land, it can land in the exact same place. An airplane cannot do it. You know, a jet cannot do it. A helicopter is the only one that can. So I break down the scientific reason as to why and how that applies to you as a single woman.
Okay.
How it applies to your life, that when it's the time, right time for God to bring you to where you need to be, you're going to be actually there. And the air above you is the faith. The gravitation below you is your time and your purpose. So I don't want to get into it too much, but it's a really great concept. I talk about also being a trophy piece and being a centerpiece. There is a difference. But he sits on the shelf. Puts it up there for a show.
Come on.
They take it down when they want to brag or boast.
Yes.
A centerpiece is sits on a table. It's always there.
Always.
It's always present. It is there. Whoever comes to the house can see the centerpiece. So are you a trophy piece or are you a centerpiece? And if you find yourself in one end as a trophy piece, how do you change that around? So that is one of the chapters as well. My favorite one is when life hands you lemons, throw them back. You forget that when life hands you lemons, you make lemonade. No, ma'am. Every lemon does not have the right consistency to be lemonade. And you have to know which ones you need to throw back. So we talk about that, especially as it relates to relationships, because we like to take men and we like to mold them and we like to see the potential, and we need to stop falling in love with potential and fall in love with the reality.
Say it.
Period.
Yes.
So those are some of the chapters in the book, and I made it a really simple read. It's about, I think we're about 150 pages, no more. And we just kept it really simple because I don't like books that say the same thing over and over and over again,
right.
You know, and they're just thick for no reason. You know, I get to the point and we move on to the next thing. And actually, I've been working on a complimenting journal. I've been asked to, you know, create a journal. And so I've been doing that during this time, you know, with that we're home.
Right.
And, so just expecting to have that out by the end of the month as well.
Okay, so we can get
the
book.
We'll have the journal as well to go with the book.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we can get the book on Amazon?
You can get the book on Amazon. You just have to type, if you type in while you're waiting, it'll come up. If you type in Fatima L. Hall, author, it'll come up. You can also get it on my website, which is FatimaLHall.com. So don't forget that L in the middle, FatimaLHall.com.
Fantastic. Listen, when we come back, we're going to have some closing remarks from our relationship specialist, our motivational speaker, our author and friend. So stick around for more of The Fuller View right here on 105.5 FM The King and RadioSt.Pete.com. Welcome back to The Fuller View, sharing time, talent, and testimonies with our awesome guest, Ms. Fatima L. Hall. Fatima, closing on today, I want you to share some words of encouragement with our audience and just be able to be your authentic self as you always have been and always will be. And I want to thank you personally for being an amazing guest today and for sharing with us your time, your talent, and your testimony.
I have to say I'm truly honored to have had this opportunity. Heidi, you are just such a bright light, and you just always have been such an encouraging sister of mine. So I just want you to know that I appreciate all your love and light that you have shown to me over the years. To my single sisters and to women in general, I want you to understand, and this is something that I put in every book when I sign it, always remember to enjoy the journey. Life is a journey. It is a path that you will be on. There are times when you will be at the height of your journey, and there are times when you will be in the valley of your journey. Wherever you find yourself, always remember to enjoy it. Always remember to reflect, especially when you are at the height of your journey. A lot of times we get so busy and so involved in the work and in the process that we don't take just a little time to just stand on that mountaintop and just say, Lord, I thank you. Just stand on that mountaintop and see the fruits of our labor. So that is one of the things that I would say to all women. Always remember to enjoy the journey. To my single women, your singleness is for a purpose. Understand what that purpose is. Accomplish those goals in that time and believe that God is going to send you the man that he has prepared for you. It may be taking a little bit longer, but let me tell you something. Gourmet meals take longer than meals from a box.
Yes.
So understand the difference in who you are. You are a gourmet meal. You are not a snack stick. So it takes a little bit longer to prepare. Okay? So those are the things that I would want my sisters to know. Just anything that I can do to encourage any of you, my platforms are all the same. It's Fatima L. Hall on Instagram. It's Fatima L. Hall Author on Facebook. Or if you come across Fatima L. Hall, which is my personal page, I respond there as well. But I want you to know that you are special, you are valuable, and you have purpose and meaning in this life.
I totally agree with those sentiments exactly. Especially during this time, we need to know that we are all of those things. We are more than conquerors. We are truly the head and not the tail, above only and never beneath, not lacking any good thing. Whether you are in an emotional relationship or a physical relationship, please know that you are still who you are and whose you are. And I think it's important for us to be able to share that, because so many women out there think that they can't or they don't want to go on without a man or without being in a relationship, and how much life that they're missing out on by yearning for something that will eventually come or may not come. I mean, my thing is live your best life. Be the best person that you can be right now, so when God does send you that special person, you'll be prepared and equipped for that relationship. Relationships come in so many different forms. I mean, I love my children. I love my husband. I love my sisters. I love those people that are in my life. But then I also love the relationships that I have with people that don't carry my same blood, that continue to push me further and to be the best Heidi that I can be. I mean, sometimes we can go to our family members that we think those relationships should be the strongest, and sometimes they're not. And It's interesting when we find people in our lives that we go through this journey with that have more to offer and more to share and want to give and want to see us prosper sometimes more than our loved ones. It can be an interesting place to be in. And I say that only because, you know, what is it? We don't choose our family, but we do choose our friends. So choose your friends wisely. Choose those people that you put in your path that can will continue to encourage you and promote you and to help you to live your life to the fullest. What do you say about that?
Exactly. And Heidi, I would just like to say this one thing before we bring this interview to a close. And you kind of brought this to me, and this is one of the points that I make in the book. Life does not begin when you say, I do. Life begins when you say, I will. For the purpose and destiny that God has created for you.
On that note, I want you guys to continue to be encouraged, be inspired, be happy, and be you. And tune back in to The Full of You right here on 105.5 FM The King and on Wonderful Wednesdays on RadioSt.Pete.com. Thank you again for joining us here today on The Full of You. And I want to thank again our beautiful and amazing guest, Ms. Fatima L. Hall. You guys be safe, be good. We'll see you soon.
The picture's bigger than you or me. It's panoramic for the world to see. It's for you, you, Ryan, you, yeah. So look up and let your vision be clear. Then reach out to the world.